something that we haven't done in 2 years. You ready for it? I'd like you to welcome somebody to church this morning. Now, you don't have to shake hands if you're not comfortable, but I'd like you to just turn around, find somebody, and just say, hey, and then have a seat. All right, now I've got to rein you in. You guys can be seated once you've done that. And, yeah. I've been thinking about doing that for a little while, and then I was talking to one of my coworkers who goes to another church in a local church, and they said they started doing it. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm doing it. And I forgot this morning. I was going to do it this morning at first service, and they didn't get to do it. So next week will be their first week. But anyway, that's okay. I don't know about you. I've been a Christian a really long time. I don't even think I can remember. My dad's here today, by the way.
Woo! Yeah, give him a hand. He left Clara at home. Woo!
He actually came over Friday, and we weren't sure if he was going to get here because we didn't know what the storm was going to do. They canceled the boat yesterday, so he's here an extra day. And you say, why would he only come for a day? I'll tell you why. He didn't really come to see me. He came to see my new puppy. So, and he called me, and I thought he was joking a couple weeks ago. He's like, I think I need to come over and just see the puppy before the puppy grows up. And I'm like, okay, haha, whatever, joking around. And then my mom's like, no, he's serious. Like, he's going to leave me here by myself. No, one of my niece and nephew came and stayed with my mom because she's not really shouldn't stay by herself. So anyway, he did come over, and he's staying an extra day and going home today. So he enjoyed puppy snuggles. And if you're on Facebook, you will see the puppy snuggles that he got from my little Theo. Anyway. Besides the point. So I was saying, I don't really remember a time where I wasn't going to church. As a child, young child, we went to a small country church, and then my parents were part of a church plant that now is a huge mega church in Quispam Sis, New Brunswick. And so I don't really remember a time not going to church. And I think that's great. But sometimes we get, you know, as Christians, if we've been a Christian a long time, we get a little lazy in our faith. I don't know if you're there. I'll admit I do it. And I know what I believe, but sometimes when I get questioned about it, I go, oh, okay, I got to think a second. Do I have an answer to that question? Do I really know and really truly honestly believe the truth that's in the Bible? Or have I just become normal for me? I don't want it to become just normal for me. I don't know about you. And we live in a country that it's easy for us to let that happen, really. It doesn't really cost us anything to be a Christian in North America. It really doesn't. I mean, I think we're coming into a time where it is going to cost you, so I hope you know what you believe. And that's kind of what this song is about. This is a simple song, just the basic truths. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What do we really believe about the power of Christ and what he's done for us, right? So this song is called This I Believe.
Forgiveness is in you.
feel blessed this morning. I know I do. We kind of got the lesser of the storm here in Digby, and I was so grateful, but I know that there's people that are really struggling this morning. I know some really, a lot of devastation happening. I haven't really heard of any much for injuries or deaths. I'm hoping not that's not the case, but I know PEI, man, I feel for them. I hope you guys are praying for people that have lost their homes. Like, I'm watching the video of just homes being swept out to sea. So I felt, woke up feeling blessed, but also heartbroken at the same time for people. And I know this time of year is one of my favorite times of year other than winter. You guys all know I like winter. But with the change of the seasons and the leaves, it just is so evident that our Creator loves us. There's so much beauty this time of year, I find. And less heat, which I don't like. But I know that I have certainly more than 10,000 reasons to wake up in the morning and feel blessed, even though other stuff's going on. Because I know I was saying this morning, you know, me and Andrew have a little bit of a window into some of your lives because you share with us that things that other people don't know are going on. And so I know that there's people here that are struggling, and I don't want to take away from that. But I hope that you're able to see past that and still see the blessings that you have every day that God has given to us. Amen? Yeah. So let's sing this out.
Before.
a sacrifice was given for us. Sometimes I wonder why. You know, when I look at the world, why he would choose to still love us, why he would choose to sacrifice himself for us. That's kind of what this song is about. And I don't do this song very often because it's kind of almost a song that's a special, really, but I just love the words of it, and always gets me teary-eyed when I sing it, so bear with me on that.
Faith is nothing on the providence I know. No longer bound to things of wood and stone. And all I had to offer was my words. You saw my heavy heart and loved me first. Beauty staring down my broken days. You chose to throw your heart into the mess. The passion crashing down upon my death. You were there. The river running through my failures. You carried me all this time, like the splinters buried in your shoulders. You carry me. On this rock, I'll sing your praise.
You know, if you're here and you're visiting, or maybe you're not a church member yet, we want you to know that we believe in open communion. The only requirement that we have is that you would be a child of the King, and that you'd be doing your best to live in unity with one another, because God has commanded that we would love one another. Amen. I was sharing with First Service that we only do communion at the end of each month, and there's a reason for that. I find sometimes, it was a little bit what Allison had already talked about, that there's times where we take our faith for granted. There's times where we feel like things just become normal, and there's nothing normal about what we're about to remember. I don't ever want us to take the sacrifice that Christ paid for us for granted. This reality that it was by his stripes that we could be healed, that his body was torn apart so that you and I could find healing, that as the blood drained from his body, it's the precious blood of the perfect lamb that covers your sin, so that God doesn't see your mistakes and your weakness and your faults. Instead, he sees sons and daughters, right? That in that act, that when Jesus said, "When it is finished," the temple veil was torn in two, and you and I now can approach the throne room of a holy God. Wow. Don't miss the importance of what we share, right? So as the disciples gathered in the upper room with Jesus, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Each time you do this, remember me. Let's eat."
bow down before him. For he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Go come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Amen. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, each time you drink, remember me. Let's do that. Anybody still feeling heavy from the storm? Sleepless night, maybe? It's funny how you get used to storms, and that's crazy that the Maritimers can kind of, we've been through this before, right? Again, when we see parts of our provinces devastated, boy, we've been there before too. And you know what? It's we got to remember to be praying for our brothers and sisters and be praying that this would be a chance for our light to shine bright. Amen? We've been going through this series on agape love, Matthew 22. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I can't stress how important this is. Again, Jesus was not exaggerating when he said that this was the greatest commandment. If we could love God with absolutely everything we have, then agape love could flow through us. It would heal us as it flows over us. It would change the way we would see ourselves. And if we would let agape love flow through us, not only would it heal us, but it would allow us the strength to love on others, both our church and our community. And with a new zeal, I might add, right? That love would be our first response. Can you imagine? And last week I kind of said this, you guys are rock stars. Your love is legendary, right? That again, that there would be people in our community that are in places of power that would talk about you, take time to put you on the agenda, that there would be this buzz that goes on to say, you know what? Digby Wesleyan loves, boy, they love their community. And last week, I wanted to remind you of that and to say, if you aren't being a part of that, why in the world would you miss out on the blessing? And so my prayer was from Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Love, love, love. And why? Because there's a harvest on the line. Don't miss out on the blessings that lie on the other side of loving, right? And again, we said this by Mother Teresa, this quote that I think is so neat. She said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Amazing, amazing. And next week, what are we doing? We're trying to make that practical. We're going to ask you to put that into action, this idea of Love Atlantic. right? A harvest offering, not tithes, right? Tithes are what we give every week. Offering is above and beyond. It's this idea that if God has blessed you, then let's sacrifice to bless others. Then we want to keep track of our volunteer hours, right? Those acts of love. Why? Because we want you to see how big it can be if we all choose to take time to love. If love is on your agenda, imagine that. How many people do a to-do list? Kirtland doesn't understand the power of a to-do list yet, not like I do, and he finds my lists all over. And the last little bit, I've seen him start doing to-do lists, and it's amazing to me. Of course, if I find them on the floor, that means that he's not in his pocket and he's not going through them, but he's learning, right? And my to-do list, and you stroke them off, and it feels good. Imagine if we were to put love on the beginning of every to-do list every day. And then we want to track also what we give in the name of Jesus. If there's a cup of cold water given, then we want you to record the cost. Why? Because we just want to show you that a lot of times we think, how can I give? It doesn't take much sometimes. Sometimes it's a listening ear. Sometimes it's a smile cookie. That's all it takes. Let's see what love can do, church. Are you ready to celebrate that? Oh, I hope so. You know, and it's important, isn't it? It's important, and I'm trying to get you guys to understand in the church how important it is to love, right? Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We touched on that last week. It's a command. John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's this beauty in which God will be seen in you when you love. And that Matthew passage reminds us that when you love, you shine, right? That's the result of you loving. You shine in a dark world. Glory will go to God. Think about that for a minute. Glory will go to God if you take the time to put love on your to-do list. You're the key. You're the one that God has believed in to do that, right? And the difference that it can make, right? The difference that can happen in a community if we start to live in a spiritual way, right? We're surrounded by human beings who are seeking a spiritual experience. Right, we've talked about that before. This week, you can't imagine the conversations I've had in the wake of some of the funerals and the deaths in the community. People that were looking for comfort, people that were looking for direction, people that were looking for leadership. Why are they coming to me? Because they're looking for something spiritual and they don't even know what that is. And because we live spiritual lives, that makes a difference. That makes a difference. We should be living different. Why? Because we know through salvation we're not human beings. We're spiritual beings. And we should be showing mankind how to live life to its fullest, like John 10:10 says. So then my question would be today, are you living life to its fullest? Are you living different than the world is living? Do others see a spiritual difference in you? Because they ought to. You should be an example. You should be shining. Amen? And it says it several times in Scripture, the one that you guys got to be sick of by now. I had some from Daniel when it talks about the end times. I had some others. But it's Philippians 2:15. I might as well read it again. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. Church, you and I are to shine. You and I are to stand out. You and I are to break through the darkness. Try to get that image in your head. Like, that's what love can do, right? And again, a famous example that all of us know, even when Paul is talking to the youth, right, in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. That at any age, we can be an example if we would be found along the way. At any age, we can be an example and let our lights shine and pierce through the darkness if we would love. 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and what? Again, glorify God on the day that he visits us. And the summer series, like I think about our summer series. I'm not sure why God keeps hounding us with this, but we can't escape it. And it's not because I'm that smart. I can't tie all those things together, right? When we think about our summer series, what? You are the salt of the earth, church. Like you are called to be salty. You are called to preserve. You are called to lend flavor. You are the city on the hill. You are the way that many will find navigation. You are the purpose in which they will decide that the way that they are living and going is wrong, and they'll change direction. They'll change their course. Why? Because you're the city on the hill. And so my question again this morning is, do people see that difference in you? Because they ought to. Like, the Bible is very clear. You're living as foreigners, aliens in this world. So think about some of those words, right? Like, you're aliens. Are you that weird? Some of you are that weird, all on your own, right? But this idea that we're to be different, that we're to be foreigners, that we are to stand out. Think about Hebrews 11 when it's talking about our heroes of the faith, starting to read at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, although they had not received the things that they were promised. Woo! That's another whole sermon series on faithfulness. Faithfulness in the storm. Faithfulness when you don't get what you long for. Faithfulness that is unwavering. That's huge. They all died in their faith, although they had not received the things they were promised. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents of the earth, heroes of our faith, that had a different destination in mind. Do you live like that? Would your neighbors say that you are one of those? Right? Do they see that difference in your life? Because again, remember, the path that you are on is narrow. Right? If they're on a broad path and they see you taking another trail, they should notice that difference, folks. They should see within you peace, regardless of circumstances, like the heroes of our faith. They should see joy within you regardless of the circumstances because of the foundation of your faith. They should see contentment that others are missing. Do you have that? You see, part of your calling, part of my calling is to stand out in the crowd. Right? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We still talk about them today. Why? Because they didn't bow. They stood out. And what were they facing? They were facing the fire, and they said, even though this could go very, very wrong, we will not bow. Would people say that of you? How about Stephen as he testified that the temple of God was within, it was beyond a building. And you know what? While they stoned him, he looked to heaven. He was different. He stood out like Esther. Right? As she boldly comes before Xerxes, knowing that this could end her, I'm unannounced, but you know what? If I die, then I die. Do we live differently? Like Paul, think about Paul again, and we've talked about this, trapped in the bowels of the city, under the city, being held captive, being chained many times to a soldier. And what is he doing? His light is shining beneath the city, and soldiers and prisoners were coming to know Jesus, revival breaking out in the prison. Do you stand out like that? Every way should be different, right? Think about that. Every way should be different. You should be different on the golf course. When I first started to learn golf, let me tell you, I found words that I thought I had let go a long, long time ago, and then I realized that I wasn't playing my golf for Jesus. And you know what? I had to stop playing golf until I gave it to him because I needed to speak different. I needed to be different on the golf course. That I need to be different with my generosity, right? That I needed to be different with the way that I treated others. I needed to be different with the way that I talked about things. I needed to be different in the workplace. I needed to be different with how I use my time. I needed to be different with what I valued. I needed to be different with what I celebrated. In every way, I was to stand out. Why? Because Jesus saved. And he didn't save parts of my life. He saved my life. My life needed to be different. Do you know that agape love should be unmistakably seen in you? And so the challenge this morning is, are you that kind of an example, right? Is that the example? Because that's what we're called to be, right? We've talked about it time and time again in Scripture that we've already read this morning, that you know what? Woo! When we talk about all those different scenarios, we should still be different. The Word of God is relevant, amen? And so again, I want us to look at how are we different. And I said, man, this could be a series that goes for several years on our own, right? And again, I know, woo, if you are not tired of love, love should be heavy now, right? Preach it till they get it. That's what they told me in school. And you know what? It's okay if we're heavy. But I was thinking, how in the world can we illustrate that this morning? And I said, there's one thing that we can sure talk about in the church where we should be different, which will amplify everything else, our family. Your family, your home. Think about that for just a moment. Because you know what? The lost in the world should see a difference in your family. The lost should see a difference in your home. Now, remember, this is for young and old today. Let me just give you a few questions to start off the conversation. How do you treat your spouse? That could open up a whole can of crazy. Right? It could. I love it when we get together for marriage counseling. The first thing we get out of the way is everybody tells on the other one. Right? How do you treat your spouse? Just think about that as believers today. How do you treat your parents, kids? Just think about it. How do you treat your parents? You know what? I always go as far, and I even wrote this one down. How do you treat your dog? I can tell a lot about people by the way they treat their pet. And they don't even have to say a word, seriously. And you know what? You'd say, Andrew, are we seriously going to be talking about loving animals? You may not be an animal lover, but yes, I'm going to talk about loving animals. Because in our culture right now, people are more quickly to report abuse to your animal than they are to your kids. How do you treat your animal? How do you treat your kids? Would your neighbors have stories that would shame and embarrass you? Because they shouldn't. Or would they be curious at the difference they see in your home? So why did I choose family? Well, I chose family because in this world, too often, and even in the church, let me make this statement. I'm not saying this is you, but too often, even in the church, we take our families for granted, don't we? That there are times when you walk on the ones that you should be loving the dearest. In church, let me say this. If you think nobody notices, give your head a shake and a slap. And if you can't slap yourself hard enough, then call upon me and I'll lay hands on you in the name of Jesus to try to wake you up because people are watching your home. Do you know that? And if I was going to focus it in, again, this is just an illustration, guys, but I'm trying to focus in. And I said, how in the world can I talk to some of the things that I see that are out of control in the world, but sometimes are out of control in some churches? I would say I have a message for men today. And all the women went, amen. Right? But let me talk to you, men. And this isn't a critique of you and yours. In fact, you know what? Every day I thank God for the godly men who are leading in this church in many different ways. They're leading in ministries with our kids. They're leading in ministries with our teens. My son came home and talked about CJ coming in full uniform and wrestling him to the ground. And then one time CJ surprised him and whipped him around. And he was going, Dad, it was awesome! And then he hobbled away because he was broken. Right? I loved it. I think of the guys up here. You know how many times I've been in a worship service and there's been no male voices? Because females are leading the church, and that's beautiful. Praise God for faithful women. But you know what? Isn't there something beautiful about men leading? You know what, men? You are called to lead. You are called to be the heads of the home. And sadly, I'm not talking about our church necessarily, but sadly, in the church, I see many men falling short on leadership. I see them falling short. Churches are dying for male leaders, right? And why is that? Why do we fall short in that? And if we are failing, men, to lead in the church, then I guarantee you, you are failing to lead at home. If you're failing in the church, you're failing at home. Let me ask you this. Do you lead in the community? Because we should. Do you lead in the church? Because you should. Do you lead at home? Because you should. Right? And that's heavy, but I want you to stay with me, guys. Again, men, you're tough. right? And most of you are doing fantastic. That's why I say I thank God for all of you. But these questions are real. And you know what? The church needs men who can handle this conversation and think, you know what? If this is a reminder to me, wonderful. I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to embrace that. Right? So if this is a challenge to you this morning, good. But this is what I want to ask when it comes to your home. Men, do you love your wives? Again, it's only an illustration. I could be talking about anything today when it comes to your example. But men, I think this is important. Do you love your wives? Do you treat them like you should? Do you talk to them like you should? Do you pray for them daily? Do you lift them up? Do you encourage them? Do you praise them? Because too often, even in the church, I see churches where, you know what? Wow, men make excuses. And most of my counseling sessions start off like this. Praise the Lord, they don't stay here. But I'll get a man in here who's sulking and not acting like a man. He's kind of acting like a little boy. And he'll say, you know what? She doesn't respect me. Holy cow, that drives me. Right? She doesn't hear me. Andrew, she doesn't encourage me. And I'll just go, oh, I thought I had a meeting with a man. I'm sorry the boy showed up. And this is the deal, right? Can I say something in truth, men? I have yet to meet a woman who doesn't go and beyond to love her husband when she is treated like the bride she should be. If you don't feel like the king, I guarantee you she doesn't feel like the queen. Like, that's heavy. But we are to be the example in that, aren't we, church? Like, think of this controversial verse. Woo! Can't wait till I get thrown in jail for reading this, Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. Isn't that a popular verse? For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men, Christ serves the church. Christ washed our feet. Christ healed the broken. Christ touched the messy. Christ fed the hungry. Christ led the fatherless. Christ restored. He lifted up. He stooped to lend a hand. He humbled himself even unto death. That's total sacrifice, men. He loved others before himself. Do you? She doesn't respect me. Likely there's reasons for that. You see, too often, men, I see this in the church, not necessarily our church, but I see it in the church, where men demand the submission, but they don't love like Christ. And the first should never happen without the second. Like, it'll never happen without the second. No healthy family finds fault with the verse that I just read, even though the world loathes it. You know, submit is a trigger word in today's society, right? Got to read that one all the time when you're in public just to see what happens, right? And why is that? Believers get this because believers have found a better way, a very, very different way than that of the world. And this passage to true believers just makes sense. And you know what? Here's what the community should see. They should see our homes filled with peace. They should see our homes filled with dialogue. They should see our homes filled with encouragement. They should see our homes filled with listening ears. They should hear the laughter. They should see the time that we invest in one another. They should feel the honor just sweeping over the fence. They should see the respect and the service and the love. Why? Because it's a better way. Does that describe your home, men? Like, men, I'm being very real today, but this is where I felt like the example needed to go, and this idea of there's the challenge. Do you work hard, men? There's another answer, like another question. Do you work hard? Now, before you answer it, let me clarify. Do you work hard both outside and inside the home? That's interesting to me. Like, it's sometimes, again, when I deal with counseling, I haven't done marriage counseling in a little while in our midst, so everybody take a deep breath. So here's the deal. Like, where does it say in the Word of God that men can't do dishes? Or men can't do laundry? Now, there are roles. Like, Allison doesn't, she for the longest time didn't like me to do laundry. I didn't see a problem, but when things came out in three pieces that went in and one and everything was pink, she had a real problem with that. Now, I'm grown up, everybody. On Thursdays, I get to do my own laundry. Like, there's no note that says, Andrew, stay the heck away. Like, there's nothing on the, it's just totally, I even know how to use it. Do you know there's different settings on that bad boy? And even the dryer, like, there's different things that you could do. And I'm all grown up because I'm allowed to touch the washer now, right? So there are times when you have roles that bring unity to the home because you're one. Do you know that I try to do a lot of cooking now? I've always loved to cook because I've always loved food. That's never been a problem. And as Allison is working out of the home now, there's times when she's coming home at 5:30. Why can't dinner be ready? Plus, it's 5:30. Do you know how late that is for my tummy? Why in the world would I ever wait for her to get home and then say, what's for dinner? No, when she gets home, I'm going, here's your plate. I've already started. Woo! It's food. And she goes, you are a nut. And I go, yeah, but it's awesome. And then men, when it comes to this idea of working, you know, there was a day where the pastor didn't have to remind men that they should be working and working hard, but society has changed. There was a time when men had pride. Society has changed. Like, I would ask you this, men, Christian men, again, are you providing? Because that's what the whole world should be seeing in our home, that you are a great provider. You know, and then I have guys who come to me and they say, well, you know what, I'm waiting for unemployment to be over. That's the wrong answer. You know, I take pride in the fact that I have never been on unemployment in my life. Never. I've always had a job waiting for me. In fact, I've had employers beg that I would stay. I take pride in that. You should. And then I hear this one, there's no jobs in my field. Wrong answer. Sorry, pumpkin. You mean you might have to get outside your expertise? Oh, come on, right? Do you provide for your family? Because that's part of leading. That's part of God's role for us, isn't it? And those homes outside of the church should see Christian men very, very differently, right? And guard against that, because you should be attractive to every woman out there who's doing it alone. And if you're married, guard that, right? Be careful, be careful, be careful. But believers should be working. You shouldn't be worried about your comfort, man. You should be worried about the comfort of your family, amen? And there are verses on that, even though none of you said amen. 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Think about that. And so when I have guys, like a lot of my counseling, they'll come to the church. Why? Because they see you, praise God, having peace and unity, and you're staying above board. You're staying above the waves. They're going, man, you have a lot of healthy families. Maybe you guys can tell us something about family. And so these guys come in, and they'll say, Andrew, there's no jobs in my field. And they get so much sympathy. I say, so? So? Well, Andrew, there's no jobs that pay enough. And I say, so? And they'll go, you know what? Well, I don't see the problem yet. And they're going, have you not been listening? And I said, why don't you get two jobs? And they're like, what? And I'm going, yeah. Something magical happens when you're working two jobs that all of a sudden you're very motivated to look for the right job in those moments of working two jobs. Don't tell me there's no jobs out there. There may be no jobs that pay you what you feel you deserve, but maybe there's a reason those jobs aren't hiring you. Oh, they don't like coming to me for counsel. You guys are kind of used to me, right? Outside the walls of the church, they get a surprise sometimes. If you've ever been let go from a job, chances are you weren't doing the job right to begin with. Wow. Sadly, most times, I don't have to ask people why they're not working. You know why? Because honestly, they're not worth hiring. If you need to look for work, I think you're doing it wrong. Men of faith, I pray that that's not us. You should take pride in a job well done. Amen, men?
Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. That you know what? As in employees, believers should stand out. You should be the best employees. That the business that you work for should wonder, how in the world could I ever do it without them? That if you say, here's my resignation, here's my 2 weeks' notice, I hope that there would be panic run throughout all of your guys who are above you. That's the way Christians are to live, amen? Our homes, our attitudes, the way we do things should be different. How about our kids? And I would ask this again, do your kids respect you? Do they listen to you? I used to say this all the time when I played the beer league hockey. Right? They would always bring me Diet Coke. Everybody relax, right? They said, Andrew, you never stay for a beer. I said, no. I said, I told the Wesleyans I'm not going to drink beer when I work for them. And then the very next week, they brought Diet Coke because they didn't want me to quickly shower and leave. Why? Because they wanted to talk about why my home was different. This is one of the questions that I had. They said, you know what? Your kids have fun with you. I said, yeah, they do. They said, mine don't. How come you have a home of peace and I don't? That hurt my feelings and it made me sad. Because if you don't have a home of peace, you're doing it wrong. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know what? If you were leading your home spiritually, and I told this to those guys, if you lead your home spiritually, your kids will respect you. They'd say, you're always in a hurry to get out of here. Why? I said, because I got a beautiful woman waiting for me at home. And they said, what? We come here to get away from her. I said, you're doing it wrong. We see the pictures of you and your kids laughing and having fun and going on adventures. You know what? I want that. I want that. I want that. And I said, well, then there's a better way. You know, if your home is a mess and there is no peace, I would say the same thing that I said to those guys. I said, you know what? If the company's going down, if the company is failing, who's to blame? It's the CEO that gets fired. There's some men who should have been fired a long time ago because they're not leading. Christian men, woo! You are a shining example of a better way. And you know what? I got to almost stop there due to time. Like we're already past, right? This is just one way to shine, one way to shine, one way to shine. You know what? We should shine in our homes, but there's 1,000 other ways. Like we should be shining in our finances. We should be shining in our play. We should be shining in our discipline. And we should be shining in the family altar that we have. Like all of those things and more, more, more. But we have enough to chew on today, don't we? And this isn't just for men. Men, you're the ones that I use as an example today. But here's the deal. We all should be a glowing example of a better way to live. Are you? Are you? You see, this is for men and women. This is for the young and the old. This challenge is for all those who call themselves believers. Be a glowing example. Shine like the stars in the heaven. Let agape love be known, be known, be known. Because when you do, the world can't deny the Father. In fact, they have to glorify Him. Your life is an example. Is an example. But is it an example of a better way? I hope so. I hope so. You know, His kingdom comes. We talk about that, right, all summer long. His kingdom come. His kingdom comes when you live the life that He's designed you to live. His kingdom comes right here on earth, and it baffles those who don't understand. I hope that your life is baffling. Everybody close your eyes. Woo! Oh, that we would be an example. Oh, that our lives would shine. this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Lord, I pray that it would be so. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an incredible week in the Lord, and let your light so shine before men that they would see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.